and 107.7 FM W299 CD Richland Center. And always on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Brian Clark. Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu speaking moments after the ceasefire in Gaza took effect. This phase of the deal, brokered by President Trump, calls on Hamas to release all hostages within 24 hours. The president suggested his work should make him the Nobel Peace Prize recipient, but that decision was made earlier in the week. And today, the Norwegian Nobel Committee announced this year's winner, Venezuelan opposition politician Maria Corina Machado.
Despite serious threats against her life, she has remained in the country, a choice that has inspired millions.
That's Committee Chair Jürgen Vatne-Fridnes. New York's Attorney General Letitia James called criminal charges against her baseless. Bank fraud and false statement charges filed by President Trump's hand-picked U.S. attorney in Virginia's Eastern District. No end in sight to the government shutdown as the Senate leaves. This is ABC News.
For WRCE 107.7, I'm Joanne Krulotz. The U.S. Department of Agriculture's Food Safety and Inspection Service is issuing a public health alert for FSIS-inspected ready-to-eat meals produced by Fresh Realm containing riced cauliflower that may be contaminated with listeria. Based on current evidence, the products included in this public health alert are not related to any ongoing outbreak investigations. The products subject to the public health alert are sold by Blue Apron, 13.05-ounce plastic tray packages labeled Dish by Blue Apron Cheesy Chicken Mac with Vegetables, with lot codes 25240 and 25247. The product bears establishment number P3081, and sold by Marley Spoon, 10.5-ounce packages labeled Balance by Marley Spoon Barbecue Sauce Beef Meatballs with Cheesy Cauliflower with lot code 25255. The product bears establishment number 47718. There have been no confirmed reports of adverse reactions due to consumption of these products. Anyone concerned about an illness should contact a healthcare provider. FSIS is concerned that these products may be in consumers' refrigerators or freezers. Consumers who have purchased these products are urged not to consume them. These products should be thrown away or returned to the place of purchase. Community Players of Southwest Wisconsin presents Pride and Prejudice Friday through Sunday, October 10th through 12th and 17th through 19th at the Richland Center City Auditorium. Performances will be held Fridays and Saturdays at 7 and Sundays at 2. Cost of admission is $15 for adults and $10 for children. For WRCE News, I'm Joanne Krulotz.
The Cubs and the crew at 2-2. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with Sports Baseball. It happened again. First inning, the Brewers' Freddie Peralta on the mound. Bottom of the first, two men on, the Cubs' Ian Happ at the plate on TBS.
Happ with a drive, right field, way back there, gone! Ian Happ takes Freddie Peralta deep for the second time in the series, and the Cubs lead 3-0.
The Cubs went on to win last night 6-0 to force a Game 5 tomorrow night in Milwaukee. Manager Pat Murphy.
Going into a winner-take-all Game 5, how do you guys get that momentum back on your side?
Yeah, I mean, that's something that you can't force. Momentum in baseball happens based on what's on the field. Hopefully, the tables will turn when we get into Game 5 at our place.
NBA, the Bucks with another preseason win, 117-111 over the Pistons at Fiserv Forum. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
We bring the excitement to you from wherever the Milwaukee Brewers are playing on WRCE FM 107.7 AM 1450 in Richland Center.
It is going to be another really nice fall day today. Partly cloudy with a high in the upper 60s to low 70s this afternoon. Tonight, it'll be clear with a low in the upper 30s to near 40. Tomorrow, another great day with sunshine and a high in the mid to upper 60s. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Temperature now 52.
Drivers, Austin Cindric here. As a NASCAR Cup Series driver of the number 2 Discount Tire Ford Mustang, there's a few rules of the road I like to tell my family and friends. Tire pressure is critical to safety because underinflated tires are more likely to fail. Plus, properly inflated tires will give you better gas mileage. Make sure to check your tire pressure at least once a month or stop by a local tire retailer for an air check.
A message from the U.S. Tire Manufacturers Association.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba.
Stand-up comedian, Mr. Jim Flanagan.
Can I tell you my Culver's hack? I always get the kids' meal because it's everything you want. I don't have children,
right.
So I'm just pretending I have like a 9-year-old named James in the back of my car.
I'm not proud of this, but I'll go through a drive-thru like a Taco Bell. I'll act like I'm on the phone and go, what else did you want? Okay. But it's all just for me. It's like 6 tacos, nachos, Bel Grande. I can mouth through all of that.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba. Weeknights from 6 till 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. Jane Matinair and Greg Bach.
Coming up on the show, farmers across the country dealing with the Trump tariffs. We talked to a farmer from southwestern Missouri. Will Westmoreland will join us. Don't miss it.
Matinair on air, weekday mornings 9 to 11. You're listening to News from the Center, WRCE.
Live across Wisconsin on Civic Media, you're listening to Mornings with Pat Kreitlow, powered by Up North News. Now, from our Lake Wissota studio, here is the founding editor of Up North News, Pat Kreitlow.
Thank you, Don Rue. Nice to hear your voice again, because it's now accurate. We're back here on the shores of Lake Wissota in beautiful Chippewa Falls, Wisconsin, on a Friday morning, October 10th, 2025. It's nice to have you along from wherever you're listening, all across the Civic Media Radio Network, or catching us on YouTube or Facebook, either the Civic Media sites or the Up North News sites. We appreciate you wrapping up the week right here. Alicia right away on YouTube saying welcome home. Thank you, Alicia, very much. Certainly appreciate that. I got a question for you, and it's a slam dunk. Is there anything like sleeping in your own bed? It's nice to travel. Don't get me wrong, especially when you're seeing family. But after several nights away, boy, did I sleep like a baby last night. Part of the reason being, I just did not have confidence that the Brewers were going to pull it off. And they most certainly did not pull it off last night. So we go to an elimination game. One game, winner take all. Brewers-Cubs coming up Saturday night at American Family Field. Let's check in with producer Parker Olson and see if, once again, he stayed up way too late for the disappointment of a Brewers loss in Chicago. Nope, he looks a little bit more awake, just entirely disillusioned. Mr. Olson, good morning.
Is it a good morning, Pat? I don't think it's a good morning, Pat.
This, for me, I slept in my... When I went to bed and whatever, I don't forget what the score was, 4-1 or whatever at that point, and I had...
We didn't score, Pat.
Or 4-0, yeah, whatever it was. You're right, because I went to bed thinking, you know, my guess was that I was going to wake up and find out that the final score was 11-0, and it wasn't. Yeah. It was 6-0, right? And that was enough. So yeah. When you see Freddie Peralta, you know, again, much like Quinn Priester, just not able to hit their points, yeah. And it's not like they haven't played at Wrigley Field before. So why are you letting the Cubs crowd get to you? But they did. And, the Brewers bats didn't have any answer. And so those two games at Wrigley are as forgettable as they come, unless the Brewers lose tomorrow, and then they won't be forgettable. We will always be talking about messing up those two games at Wrigley Field.
Yeah, there were a couple of times last night where the Brewers had a couple of like decently hard hit balls, but they were straight at somebody. Mm-hmm. And to me, that's kind of just like the signal that it's not going to be your day, because that tends to be how the Brewers work. They put the ball in play. Something happens. They get on base. They manufacture runs. But that was absolutely not working yesterday. And to your point, too, yeah, the pitching, for whatever reason, that first inning is such a bugaboo. And Freddie Peralta, he's not, I've said this before, he may be a little bit of a Cy Young candidate, but he's not exactly a pleasant watch.
Again,
no matter how good he's doing,
they call him Fastball Freddy for a reason, but it's not consistent enough that he might get some votes for the Cy Young Award, but he's not going to win it.
And it's, I don't think it's so much the inconsistency. I think he's doing exactly what he wants to do.
He said that last night. Yeah, he said he felt consistent.
He's entirely uncompetitive when he's ahead in a count, and it's frustrating as all get out.
Yeah, so that's what happened. That's the short version of what happened, and Mike Clemens will be along at 8:35 to talk about that, to talk about, you know, the deciding game five tomorrow at American Family Field. And I can tell you right now that because it's the last game of all the league series, there's an American League elimination game tonight, so that's at 7 o'clock, and then the National League elimination game will be tomorrow night, so that one is now at 7 o'clock. And so coverage will begin Saturday at 6:30 on several Civic Media stations across the network. As for the other series, we'll just cover those real briefly here. It was a case of finding out that, you know, either the Cubs or the Brewers are going to play the Dodgers. The Dodgers move on one of the craziest, most frustrating, dumbest plays will haunt Philadelphia Phillies fans for the foreseeable future, where the Dodgers have a runner on third, the Dodger hitter, it's a comebacker to the pitcher, but he bobbles it. He could have either thrown to first and got the third out or threw it home. He chose to throw it home after bobbling it. And I mean, he threw it just a bit outside and that was it. Dodgers score on a weird muffed throw. It had to go, what, 20 feet from the pitcher to the catcher?
He
missed the catcher wildly, and the Dodgers advance. So
that was so hard to watch. I felt so bad for that guy.
Oh, for him and for all the fans. So the Dodgers move on and wait to see if they play the Brewers or the Cubs, because it also determines home field advantage. If the Brewers win, then the National League Championship Series will start in Milwaukee on Monday night, and the Brewers will have the home field advantage. If the Brewers lose to the Cubs, then they'll take on the Dodgers, but the Dodgers will have the home field advantage starting on Monday. Meanwhile, in the American League, like I said, there's a clinching game tonight. That will be Detroit at Seattle, Tigers versus Mariners, 7 o'clock tonight. The winner will travel to Toronto for the American League Championship Series Game 1, which will be Sunday night. So any chance we can get Brandon Woodruff back by tomorrow? I'm just thinking about our pitchers.
That's the other stupid thing about it, is it seems like once Woodruff went down, everything went out the window. Nothing is going well.
The air just went out of the balloon. It felt like, not entirely, because obviously we still have had some big innings.
Yeah.
But pitching wise, it just hasn't been everything that we would want it to be. While we're on the subject of sports here, of course, we've got high school football tonight on several stations across the Civic Media Radio Network. And then, of course, we've got Badger football tomorrow. The Badgers taking on Iowa. And again, let me clarify, because I said it wrong multiple times this week. The Badgers are home against Iowa. It's a homecoming in Madison. Coverage begins tomorrow at 4 on several Civic Media stations. And then on Sunday, the Packers are back in action, taking on the Cincinnati Bengals. Coverage begins at 1 o'clock for a 3:25 kickoff on several Civic Media stations. Again, head over to civicmedia.us to learn more. It's going to be a little weird for the Packers to face Joe Flacco again, since they faced him as the Cleveland Browns quarterback a couple of weeks back, and now they're facing him as the newly acquired Cincinnati Bengals quarterback.
I wonder how many times this has happened, that a team has played against the same quarterback twice in a season, but not on the same team.
Not much.
It can't be, right?
I mean, no, midseason trades of a quarterback don't happen much. And within the division.
And to be a starter. AFC,
and to be a starter. Yeah, just that is that caught everybody's attention. And certainly does that help the Packers because they've played them already? You know, who's to say? Because he's only one of 11 people there behind the ball. So Badger women's volleyball, they are 7th ranked in the country. They will travel to Penn State tonight to take on the Nittany Lions there. And so we'll follow all of that and have some results Monday morning for you along the way. We mentioned that Mike Clemens is coming up. Also ahead, we're going to be talking to Dr. Kristen Lyerly. And again, forgive the strong language here, but we're going to talk about another stupid thing said by Robert Kennedy Jr., somehow connecting autism to circumcision via Tylenol in baby boys. And there is a meme in like the movie Airplane where first one person puts their face on their head, and then other people do, and then like the entire theater audience puts their hand on their head.
Audible face palm.
I felt like that was the entire medical community yesterday, and that was just one of several things. I mean, let's just say Dr. Lyerly is what's the phrase, loaded for bear. She is ready to talk about this. So
I have yet to see this clip, and I am a little worried.
Yeah, you should be. We'll also have, of course, our regular Week in Review panel with journalist Mark Jacob and Jennifer Schulze and former U.S. Attorney Jim Santel. And, of course, one of the big topics this week deals with President Trump being able to send the military into cities just willy-nilly. And let me put it to you this way. How do you think people in Oklahoma, let's say Tulsa, how do you think people in Tulsa would feel if a Democratic president sent the Illinois National Guard into their city? So troops from Chicago basically invading Tulsa, because that's essentially what's happening in reverse with people in Chicago, as red states are complying with President Trump's desire to play soldier, to play general. Well, we can say that out loud, but you know who else said it out loud? A top Republican official in the state of Oklahoma, one of the few Republicans speaking up, going, that's not how this country is supposed to work. That's not how our system of federalism is supposed to work, where the president can send troops from one state into another state without that governor's permission. This isn't a case of, oh, there's some kind of insurrection, there's some kind of national emergency. Trump says there is, except for this one problem. There's not. He's sending people into Chicago that just had a summer with the least amount of murders since 1965. Okay. These are made up things that distract from the shutdown where they're trying to inflict maximum pain, distract from the ongoing cover up of the Epstein files, and distract from the fact that inflation is still very persistent for the American consumer. It's a distraction from Americans who are just now starting to realize how much more expensive their health insurance premiums are going to shoot up because Republicans in Congress voted for that big bloated boondoggle, which removed the affordable from the Affordable Care Act. But the president has figured out a way to make this all about, you know, make that, all that go away. And let's talk about whether troops should be in Chicago and in Portland and in Memphis and in Washington, D.C. and every place else. So we will talk to former U.S. Attorney Jim Santel about that, along with Mark Jacob and Jennifer Schulze. You go over that and some of the other stories of the week. Now, of course, we've got stories that we're following here at Up North News. I'm putting together our weekend newsletter, and that will include our question of the week, which this past week was all about, you know, who would be your first choice in the Democratic primary for governor? Well, needless to say, this Sunday's edition is going to be kind of a reset on the race because Josh Call decided not to run for governor. Missy Hughes jumped into the race for governor. And there are still other rumblings out there, names like Mandela Barnes, names like Ron Kind that are being bounced around. So to what degree is the field set yet? We'll kind of give you a reset in this weekend's newsletter, and we'll come up with a new question of the week. And if you want to be among the first to see it and respond to it, then head over to upnorthnewswi.com. That's our homepage there. And click on subscribe in the top banner. Up North News is a separate entity from Civic Media. But gosh golly, do we love having this partnership every weekday morning from 6 to 9 across the stations of the Civic Media Radio Network. So a lot to cover here, including in just a bit, we're going to talk about, again, the hypocrisy of saying support our troops and thank you for your service when that's not really what's happening. That's coming up next. I'm Pat Kreitlow. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
News from the Center, WRCE. Keeping you connected to your local community with real news and great conversation. Here's Terry Barr with the Civic Media Radio Network.
The fall agriculture tourism season is underway. And from apple orchards to pumpkin patches, it's a great time to travel across the state. But have you ever thought about camping on a farm? There is a push to make a new law allowing farmers to host up to 3 paying campers without a license. Supporters say it's needed to help diversify their incomes.
To allow people to put a tent up in a pasture and experience stargazing, stay overnight in the pasture, and have rustic camping when they're overnight for farm stays, pick up the eggs in the morning, have a farm breakfast.
That's Sheila Everhart with the Wisconsin Agricultural Tourism Association. You can learn more, including where to go this fall, at the website WIAGtourism.com. Until next time, I'm Terry Barr.
Ahoo, this is Robert Pilot of Native Roots Radio. On our show, we share stories from Turtle Island highlighting the people and issues shaping our communities. From protecting water to treaty rights and preserving languages and traditions, we cover it all. Hear voices like Arvina Martin of Emerge Wisconsin, Dr. Stately, Robert Lilligren, and more. Because Native issues are human issues, and human issues are Native issues.
Native Roots Radio, weeknights at 8 on your local Civic Media radio station.
Nobody had to tell your grandparents not to drive while using their typewriters. Why should it be any different for us kids and our cell phones? Distracted driving was the cause of more than 3,000 deaths in 2022. Come on, we're smarter than this. Let's put down the phones and focus on the roads. Drive safe, everybody.
Don't drive distracted. A message brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration, Project Yellow Light, and the Ad Council.
Every 15 seconds, someone is diagnosed with cancer. If it's happened to you or someone you love, the American Cancer Society can help at every step of the journey. Visit cancer.org today.
Come work with us. Civic Media has a number of great jobs across the state. Open now at civicmedia.us/careers.
Welcome back. It is 6:20, just about 6:23 now on this Friday morning. Sorry, I was just sipping some coffee. It's so good, not just to sleep in your own bed, but to have your own coffee again. Just all the comforts here. My chair feels better. The lighting feels better. My face now has a color that appears in nature once again.
You do look better.
Thank you. I feel better compared to the weird lighting in hotel rooms and guest bedrooms and things like that. Still got to work on yours over there, man. I mean, you are, as I discovered being there a week before last, you are a handsome young man.
Shucks.
You'd never know watching this show. It's and it's not your fault at all.
No.
So we'll worry about that later. But it's nice to have things. Everything is back where it needs to be. My Roy Kent coffee mug for Fridays is here. Coffee tastes better. Yeah. You know what else is better is being back into the regular routine of checking things on my own computer, which includes Civic Media's new daily newsletter. It's filled with lots of links to show highlights and more. Head over to Substack. Specifically, go to civicmediatoday.substack.com. Again, civicmediatoday.substack.com, and be a part of it all. Let's see. Roger in Stevens Point brings up the news that is rather sad, especially for college basketball fans. Sister Jean Schmidt, the Loyola basketball superfan and team chaplain, died at age 106. She became a sports world celebrity at the age of 98. as the number one fan for Loyola University during their Cinderella run in the NCAA Final Fours, but has passed away now at the age of 106. Roger, thank you for letting us know about that. Let's see. We also had Tony commenting on YouTube about potential gubernatorial candidates. First, he goes, Tom Nelson, with a big explanation point. And then Luke Mathers with a big exclamation point. He also says that he appreciates the new lighting. Thank you. Because he says Parker is ghost white in person too, right? No, no, he's not. He's nobody looks normal in that room.
It's close.
But we're gonna work on it. He also says, are we going to talk about Emily Cephos running again for assembly? Yes, at some point we are. Emily Cephos, a friend of the show here, is running again in Assembly District 56. That's important because currently Assembly District 56 has a representative who does not live in the district, has been playing fast and loose with his residential address. And Emily thought that it might be time once again for residents in that Fox Valley area district to have a representative who would represent them by living in the place that they're supposed to represent. So yes, we will most definitely be talking to Emily all about that in the coming days as well. But for the moment, I just want to talk about a real pet peeve of mine and my ongoing mission to help more people understand that the politicians who are loudest about back the blue and support the troops and thank you for your service are sometimes the most hypocritical when it comes to actual backing and support and gratitude. The most recent example could be seen late yesterday in the nation's capital as the Senate passed a new defense policy bill, a $925 million bill that's going to talk all about some of the broad policy of the military and the outlines of the Pentagon budget whenever the government does open again. But they did not include a provision in there that would have kept paying the troops during a government shutdown, because most federal employees will not get paid next week. And the same goes for soldiers, sailors, airmen, Marines, and all who support them. They could have changed that. The bills are going to keep coming, but the paychecks will not. Of course, this all happened at the same U.S. Capitol where insurrectionists beat and maimed scores of law enforcement officers. And yet, has there been anything other than indifference as their party leaders pardoned those domestic terrorists? While we're on the subject, these are the same people who in D.C. and in Madison and elsewhere pass budgets that squeeze local coffers already hard-pressed to pay for police and other law enforcement. Talk is cheap when it comes to backing the blue if you don't really fund who it is that you claim to support. And of course, we've covered active duty troops and law enforcement. Let's not forget veterans who face higher probabilities of homelessness and suicide and drug addiction and other things. The people who beat the drum hardest for war and for supporting our troops sure have a funny way of showing it lately. At the federal level, of course, we can talk all about the cuts to the VA healthcare system. We have talked about them. There will be more to come. And then closer to home, two shelters to help homeless veterans had to shut down in the state because Republicans zeroed out the budget for them, even as it turns out, when there might be free resources being offered. According to a report from WQOW-TV in Eau Claire, a contractor has been willing to work with the Wisconsin Department of Veteran Affairs to replace the aging Klein Hall facility in Chippewa Falls at no cost for the construction, only the cost to lease it once it's built. A Department of Veterans Affairs spokesperson, or an official rather, confirmed that they were working with the company on the offer, but the funding needed to enter the contract didn't go through because Republican leadership isn't exactly rushing to embrace what now turns out to be free help for veterans. Again, we've talked several times about this being the legislature's fall session, but it has been plodding along, even as these facilities for homeless veterans had to stop operations and shut down. But again, we're seeing where their real priorities are when it comes to our veterans, to our military, and to law enforcement. And I just want people to keep that in mind whenever you hear the pithy sayings like back the blue and support our troops. Talk is cheap. Coming up next, today's history lesson. How about this for a rundown? David Lee Roth, Neil Diamond, Greg Bach, and former Vice President Spiro Agnew. That's all ahead. I'm Pat Kreitlow. You're up north.
This is News from the Center, WRCE.
You're listening to 107.7 WRCE, home for the Midwest Farm Report with me, Pam Yonke. The Wisconsin Department of Ag, Trade, and Consumer Protection announced yesterday they were suspending all poultry shows, exhibitions, swap meets, and movement of poultry in four southern Wisconsin counties. Catch is, they didn't tell the poultry show organizers. I'm Pam Yonke with a quick update on what's happening in food and farming news on a Friday. More on that next.
As the weather changes, it can start to impact feed quality. Don't let your cows become the victims of the ration roller coaster. Adding Generator Elite to your herd's ration can introduce beneficial microbials that support gut health and help the herd navigate the highs and lows of feed quality, all while using less than an ounce per day per cow. Learn more about Generator Elite at bio-vet.com.
Innovation, that's BioVet. Dan Schwant of the Beaver, Pigeon, and Bantam Club says he's mad. They had a show scheduled for this Saturday at the Jefferson County Fair Park and found out through friends that the show was canceled. He said he received no notification from the Wisconsin Department of Ag, Trade, and Consumer Protection.
I already started with the setup process. I already had emptied all the cooping out of the semi-trailer, and then all of a sudden a friend of mine messaged me and said, hey, did you see what the dad cap did? And so that was news to me, and I was like, what? Because I checked my email, there was nothing there. And I called another one of our members and asked her, and she said she had received nothing either. So, and then it was just fun, saw it on the website there. And so we've had to cancel one of our previous events because of the AI, and they contacted me in advance and said, hey, I had to cancel. Well, this time I had nothing.
That's a surprise. Dan Schwant, the secretary of the Beaver, Pigeon, and Bantam Club, they were having their annual fall swap on Saturday. But now the Department of Ag, Trade, and Consumer Protection suspending all poultry shows, exhibitions, swap meets, and movement of poultry in Jefferson, Waukesha, Walworth, and Rock counties until the end of the calendar year. More at MidwestFarmReport.com.
Whether it's finally getting that blue ribbon or enjoying too many carnival rides, we all have memories of the fair. Here's your chance to share those stories in our Everybody Has a Fair Story contest. The Midwest Farm Report is teaming up with the Wisconsin Association of Fairs as they look for the grand champion fair story. Enter the Fair Story contest for a chance to win a cash prize at MidwestFarmReport.com.
And congratulations to Kurt Larson from Reedsburg. He's been selected as the new president of the Wisconsin Beef Council Board of Directors. Larson is the current president, CEO of the Equity Cooperative Livestock Sales Association. He'll also act as the state's representative on the Federation of State Beef Councils. There's food news on a Friday. I'm Pam Yonke. Fabulous Farm Babe Pam Yonke here. You're listening to 107.7 WRCE, home of the Midwest Farm Report.
It is going to be another really nice fall day today. Partly cloudy with a high in the upper 60s to low 70s this afternoon. Tonight, it'll be clear with a low in the upper 30s to near 40. Tomorrow, another great day with sunshine and a high in the mid to upper 60s. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Temperature now 52.
Where working people come to talk. It's the Rick Smith Show, weeknights at 9 on the Civic Media Radio Network. Join me for an honest approach to the issues American working families care about. No talking points, no focus groups. Get ready for a heavy dose of democracy, fairness, grit, and no apologies. It's current affairs from a working class labor perspective. Facts are center, science is real, and everyone gets a seat at the table. The Rick Smith Show, weeknights at 9 on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Not completing high school is more of a social thing than it was an academic thing. Even though all these years have passed, I still had that longing to have my diploma.
At age 30, Carissa finished her high school diploma.
If you're even considering getting your high school diploma, you can do it.
No one gets a diploma alone. If you're thinking of finishing your high school diploma, you have help. Find free adult education classes near you at finishyourdiploma.org. That's finishyourdiploma.org. Brought to you by the Dollar General Literacy Foundation and the Ad Council.
Pete Schwabba.
On the next Nightlight, I talk about the new Civic Media sports show, Make the Call, with Parker Olson and Greg Gunderson. And it's a bar band Friday night, so Terry Barr is in the house. Let's light it up.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba. Weeknights from 6 till 8.
Starting today's history lesson with little David Lee Roth for his 71st birthday, born this day in 1954 in Bloomington, Indiana. Just a Gigolo, which it was decades later that I learned that that was actually not some kind of an original song. I thought it was just some funny thing he put together. It's like an old-timey song. It goes like way, way back. Very few people know that, but Greg Bach did. And Greg Bach joins us, as always, on Fridays for our history lesson. Mr. Bach, good morning.
Good morning to everyone. Good morning to you, Pat. Good morning to Parker. Good every day. I'm sorry. I'm very tired. Very tired.
You know what you need? You need more pumpkin spice.
I need more pumpkin spice.
Okay. Just get it flowing.
I'm just a Gregolo everywhere I go.
Very nice.
Thank you very much. That song's from like 1930 or something. Like it's from the late 20s or early 30s.
I know that a year or two back it was Louis Prima. That's right. Yes.
Yes.
1929.
Yeah.
Is when it first came out. And, you know, again, it was much more not romantic, but almost serious. And David Lee Roth, of course, turned it into something fun and goofy.
I'm just a gigolo, man. Yep. Everywhere I go.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yeah. That's funny. I wrote this. Guys, I really wrote this really deep. Deep within self-reflective tune, man. Music is weird. Okay, hi, good morning.
Hey, no, nice to have you here. And David Lee Roth, of course, who, you know, when he left Van Halen, did have a good solo career. And Van Halen went on just fine with Sammy Hagar after that. So
I just, two things about that. First of all, I did not know until this moment that he was from Bloomington, Indiana. He had to be the most annoying kid in Bloomington, Indiana.
I don't know. What town did David Letterman grow up in? I mean,
that makes sense, though, in Indiana. Like, he's got more of an Indiana Midwest vibe of, like, the dry, sarcastic wit, whereas you just see a little David Lee Roth doing cartwheels down the main street. Like, he's got to get out of here. He's got to leave. He's never going to farm. He's weird. And also, I just also like the idea, like, hey, I'm in the biggest rock band in the world. You know what I should do? Go out on my own, because that will go real well.
Yeah. It gets you a hit or two, but that's truly about it. So.
Yeah.
Name ID. Well, anyway. Come on.
Yep, exactly. A couple of other birthdays, both of them involving presidential aspirations. There's Bradley Whitford from the West Wing and Wisconsin's own, who is 66 years old today. And then California Governor Gavin Newsom is 58 years old today. So could you see a day, maybe, you know, the next presidential campaign, it's the Gavin Newsom-Bradley Whitford ticket? That would get some votes.
Oh, God. No, thank you.
Wow.
No.
That was unexpected. All right. Well, let's instead get back to the music, because on this day in 1970, the number one song was by Neil Diamond. Oh, no. What's your Neil Diamond impression these days?
Not existent.
Not as good as Neil Diamond. Yeah, that was the number one song this day in 1970. Hey, I got a couple of more birthdays of people who might have presidential aspirations. Happy birthday, Brett Favre. He is 56 years old today.
Like a You're a mean lap. Man, dude.
And
he's already really big into funding stuff, so.
Yeah, see? And Dale Earnhardt Jr. is 51 years old today. And I'm sure a few NASCAR folks would, you know, still do that. They'd support him. On this day in 1992, Garth Brooks' album, The Chase, debuted at number one on the album charts with tracks that included That Summer and this single.
When we're free to love anyone we choose, when this world's big enough for all different views, when we all can worship.
When the whole Bud Light debacle happened, was that like 1,000 years ago or was it like 6 months ago? I don't remember now.
Somewhere in between, yeah.
But, you know, the Bud Light thing happened, then Kid Rock decided to beat up some beer with a gun, and then he said, I'm not serving Bud Light in my bar anymore, and people were like, yeah, and then Garth Brooks was opening up his Nashville bar, and they're like, are you going to do that? He goes, yes. If people want to drink Bud Light, I'll serve it. Like, he just was like, this is dumb. Why am I talking about this right now?
Yes. Which is completely in keeping with who he is.
Yeah.
And why, at that point, a lot of the Bud Light thing, people went like, yeah, okay. Yeah, people should be able to drink what they want to drink.
Yeah.
You know, who are we to dictate your beer? So, it's Garth Brooks' book. It is Friday, isn't it, after a day of travel. Garth Brooks' album, The Chase, debuted at number one this day in 1992. Garth Brooks was one of many cameos, Greg, in the series I still am plodding through on the flight down and on the flight back, the Billy Joel documentary.
Oh, my gosh.
And Garth Brooks has some, just incredible comments about Billy Joel. And I really wanted to finish it yesterday, but I couldn't get it done before the Brewers game started. And it's fine because I would have hogged up the whole show today. Whenever I finish this thing, we're basically doing a Billy Joel appreciation show.
Will you do that? Like start it on a Friday when because I could talk about that for hours. I watched it in one sitting. I'm like, I'll start watching it. And I'm like, 9 hours later.
I know it's a beast. And keep thinking, okay, this thing's probably wrapping up now. And it doesn't, but it doesn't drag on. The next story is just as compelling as the one before.
Yeah.
And I mean, the segment we could do just rattling off, say, just one or two lines of song lyrics from this song, yeah, and saying, you guys should listen to these. So you want to do that next Friday?
I'd love to do that next Friday. I might have to watch it again just to freshen up.
There you go.
I will say this, though. Anytime Garth Brooks is interviewed about anything, it's always amazing because he treats every interview like he is giving a like Nobel Prize winning speech. He just treats it with such like the thing about Billy Joel. You don't understand it.
Oh, yes, he did.
His documentary, his own documentary, he cries like 9 times while he's talking.
Wow. And by the way, from being in Nashville last weekend, my favorite bar there was Garth Brooks.
The Garth Brooks one? Nice. Absolutely. I want to go back.
Yeah, can't wait. Oh, look at that. We used up all the music from there. I guess we got to get back to doing something here.
Billy Joel's documentary was
Let's go to 1995 then, where No Doubt released their breakthrough album Tragic Kingdom with hits like Just a Girl and this one.
Okay, what year? This came out in 98?
95. And it sold 10 million copies and catapulted Gwen Stefani to stardom.
Parker, what year were you born? You were born
2003.
Okay. I'm not. Sure. This is not a setup. I'm just saying this album, Parker, this song we're playing right now. Imagine hearing this song on at least 4 different radio stations a day, at least 3 times a day on each station. This song could not stop being played.
Oh God, that's not even like that breaks the rules of what you're supposed to do.
And on top of that, this was back when MTV was playing videos too, so the video plays like 5 times a day.
Yes. Yeah, the world was quick to embrace Gwen Stefani.
Yeah.
They like her. She's a good voice. She stands out.
She's certainly embracing Jesus and Trump lately.
Anyway, on this day in 1845 in Annapolis, Maryland, the school that would become the United States Naval Academy opens with 50 students. And so I believe for our favorite Navy veteran, Alicia, we have to do a shout out to her for that. On this day in 1946 was born the late singer-songwriter John Prine, who passed away in 2020. It's the 65th birthday for Eric Martin of the band Mr. Big. Were they a one-hit wonder? Did they have?
Yeah, They were, okay. But I will say, this song slaps. And another song that was everywhere on contemporary radio. You could not get away from it. The hair band that had all the rockin' tunes, and then they had their sensitive ballad. But their bass player and guitar player are two of, like, the best players in music. Like, they were so good, but you're like, oh, like, you had no idea, because it's a very simple song.
It is, but in 1991, late 91, early 92, it was everywhere.
Yep. Yeah. Yes.
Also born this day in 1917, Thelonious Monk, the jazz pianist and composer. Mm-hmm. Happy birthday to singer Maya, who is 46 years old today. Maya, that's her name, Maya Harrison. She was born in Washington, D.C., and her parents chose her name to honor the poet Maya Angelou. Let's see. Here's the birthday that I saved till last. Tanya Tucker. She is 67 years old today.
If ever a biopic needs to be made, it's about Tanya Tucker's life.
It's got to be her. She was, like, officially the first bad girl of country music, right?
I would say documented, where it was out in the world, where people were like, oh, wow, this is, like, I'm sure there were a lot of females out there in country music who could live it up with the boys, but she made the headlines.
Yes. Yeah. This was no little Tammy Wynette stand by your man thing.
No. She was more like, throw him out of the window and keep his stuff.
That's exactly it. Oh, let's see. Now I promised a little Spiro Agnew here, because
rock on!
In today's history lesson, two mentions. First off, in 1970, when Spiro Agnew was the vice president, imagine this happening today. This could not happen today. But in 1970, the head of the FCC dressed down the vice president of the United States after Spiro Agnew complained that radio stations were playing too many songs about drugs. And the statement from the FCC chair said, if we really want to do something about drugs, let's do something about life. The songwriters are trying to help us understand our plight and deal with it. It's about the only leadership that we're getting. They're not really urging you to adopt a heroin distribution program, Mr. Vice President. Could somebody have the spinal fortitude to say something like that today, please?
First of all, I just want to be like, Pat, you know this as well as I do. Mm-hmm. Bands back then were not exactly writing about the plight of drug use. Some of them were writing about the awesomeness of drug use that they were finding. So, but mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, that's an amazing, and it's so perfectly lit. Like, dear Vice President, I'm here to tell you that this is, I think about this, Pat, every day now. I think about someone in one of these departments just going, no, and then going back to work.
Yeah, I would love to see that.
Yeah.
Or just go up to the bank of microphones and go, no, make me, you know. Yeah,
exactly.
Just that, please. But that was 1970. Three years later on this date, Vice President Spiro Agnew resigned after being charged with federal income tax evasion. As part of a local corruption investigation in Baltimore County involving public officials, architects, and contractors, it was learned Agnew was not only getting kickbacks as Maryland's governor, the payments continued even after he became vice president, including a $10,000 cash payment made at the White House. Are you listening, Tom Homan, current border czar, who got $50,000 in a bag? Agnew would go on to have an extremely blemished business career in political consulting, largely based on his hatred of Israel. He died in 1996 at the age of 77. Yeah, history not being kind to Spiro Agnew, and rightly so.
Spiro Agnew wasn't kind to himself.
No, not at all. Thank you, Greg, for helping us out with today's history lesson. We still have our Week in Review panel coming up as well. And Dr. Kristen Lyerly and Mike Clemens in our 8 o'clock hour. I'm Pat Kreitlow. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
As Wisconsin is cheering on the Brew Crew, this is the Civic Media Radio Network.
A game without a crowd is just a scrimmage. A performance without an audience is just a rehearsal.
Without your presence, high school sports and the performing arts aren't possible. Ensure that these essential extracurricular activities continue to enrich the lives of students in Wisconsin. Purchase a ticket to your local high school's game or performance.
This message presented by the WIAA and the Wisconsin Athletic Directors Association.
You're listening to the American Democracy Minute, keeping your government by and for the people. The Trump administration confirmed in September it is sharing driver's license and Social Security information among federal and state agencies from a massive database of personal and voter data. A class action lawsuit by voters and pro-voter groups has been filed to stop it. Since May, 38 states have received requests to turn over voter registration and voting records, according to the Brennan Center for Justice. As of October 1st, the only state to have complied is Indiana. Eight states which refused to comply have now been sued by the Trump Department of Justice. The administration reportedly repurposed an existing U.S. Citizenship and Immigration Services database for verifying immigration status called Systematic Alien Verification for Entitlements, or the SAVE system. NPR reported in September that the immigration status of 33 million voters had been checked using the database. The new lawsuit contends, quote, Congress passed the Privacy Act of 1974 specifically to prevent the government from creating formal or de facto national databanks or centralized federal information systems that would consolidate sensitive personal information of Americans stored at separate agencies, unquote. The voters and groups are asking the court for an injunction prohibiting the administration from using personal data not allowed by the Privacy Act. We've linked the complaint from AmericanDemocracyMinute.org. I'm Brian Beal.
From Eau Claire to Green Bay.
Oh, my goodness, a powerful run to the house.
And Milwaukee to Madison.
Under duress, and it's a safety.
The tradition of Badger football lives here.
Touchdown, Wisconsin.
Join us Saturday. It's the Badgers and Hawkeyes at Camp Randall. Our coverage begins at 4.
Now we'll get rolling.
On your home for Wisconsin football.
Here on 107.7 FM, 1450 AM, WRCE.
Doctors Without Borders is delivering life-saving medical care where it's needed most in communities around the world. From bandaging war-wounded patients in Sudan to providing clean drinking water in Haiti, we're in more than 70 countries worldwide, bringing patients from sick to recovering, from emergency to aid, from crisis to care. This life-saving care is made possible by a global movement of supporters like you. Thank you.
As Wisconsin is cheering on Bucky Badger. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to Mornings with Pat Kreitlow on WRCE. I'm Bo Hendricks, and here's what's going on in Richland Center this morning.
Rose Welsh is here, Elder Benefit Specialist for Richland County, and it's a very timely visit. You come every year, Rose.
Good morning. Yeah, we have open enrollment is coming up just starting next Wednesday, October 15th, so people will have a chance to start reviewing their insurance plans. They should have already been receiving letters from their insurance companies. It's called the annual notice of change. Those letters should be reaching our customers soon if they haven't gotten them already. And those would tell people what changes they can expect.
And with the current policy, does that go until the end of the year then, Rose?
So people who, their plan is still going to be around for next year. Their plans will continue till December 31st. And then whatever they pick will be what they pick up for January of 2026. So
you come in this morning with, we'll start off with not such good news and maybe end with a positive note. But it sounds like some of the companies are kind of cutting down a little bit in who they cover.
They are. So a lot of our customers got letters over the weekend. The big one that we're hearing about is Quartz. Quartz is leaving 37 counties in Wisconsin this year. So they are really reducing their coverage area to like Dane and La Crosse. But there are a lot of counties that a lot of people are going to be impacted by that change. But we're also seeing some other companies reduce the amount of plans they have, like United Healthcare, Aetna, iCare is dropping most of their plans. Care Wisconsin is dropping their plans. And then there's some Aetna ones that are also going to be canceling by the end of the year.
Why is that, do you think?
Well, I don't know if the companies just have too many plans. Maybe they're trying to consolidate because there were a lot of options out there. And then maybe some of the plans they were just finding weren't profitable, or it could be that Medicare maybe even told them that the policies weren't meeting clients' needs, because there's a certain standard Medicare expects from these companies. And if they don't follow the rules and regulations, Medicare can actually tell them that those policies need to be terminated. So we could be seeing that for some of the plans as well.
And if somebody got the letter, it's sometimes overwhelming to see, oh, yeah, what do I do next?
Yeah,
what's the next step?
We're seeing people get really nervous about it. And I just want to reassure people, when your plan ends like that, you get an extended period of time. The normal open enrollment period is from October 15th to December 7th. But if your plan is completely ending and then leaving, you have until February to make that decision. So you have time to research and look what other plans are out there, and don't feel like you're rushed, because your plan is covering you through the end of this year. So you have some time to research what's out there. And there are still lots of plans. We've got Humana, United Healthcare still has some plans that are going to be offered. Security Health has plans. We have GHC and Anthem Blue Cross is offering some plans. So there's a lot of resources available to them. The ADRC is one, but we have 1-800-MEDICARE, Medigap Helpline. You can go online if you don't want to talk to a person. Medicare.gov is a wonderful website that you can go and you can stick in your prescriptions and find out what plans might work for you. We're lucky to live in the area we live in. We have really knowledgeable pharmacists, and believe it or not, they help people with their prescription plans as well. And then, of course, the local insurance agents are out there and are a wonderful resource as well. So don't feel like you're stuck with just one place to go. There's a lot of options out there that you can get help figuring out what your next steps are.
Can you go over some of the changes for Medicare coming up?
Yeah. So in the Part D specifically, we do have one little piece of good news. The average premiums are dropping from 2025.
You don't hear that every day, do you?
Right. I know. I was actually pretty surprised myself, because most of the other numbers are going up. But the average premium was $48.37 last year, and now it's going to be $30.75. But the deductible, unfortunately, is going up. It was $590 last year, and now the deductible is going to be $615. And then the max out-of-pocket also saw a slight increase as well, and it was $2,000 last year, and this year's $2,100. And again, that's just a max out-of-pocket. There's a lot of people out there who might not even reach that. But if you're one of those person that has expensive drugs, that's the most you're going to see spending in 2026 is $2,100.
And sometimes it doesn't take long to get to that limit, does it?
No. And people who are looking at really expensive medications, there is something called a payment plan out there with Medicare that can help spread out the cost. It doesn't reduce the overall cost, but like if you're looking at that $615 deductible, which it's all out of your pocket, right? 100% your cost. If that just seems overwhelming to you, there is a payment plan that can spread out the cost throughout the year. So that kind of help, you know, your budget and help you pay for your medications that you need.
Are you planning some face-to-face meetings then? I'm guessing that really kicks into gear now, doesn't it?
We do. Yeah. I have a class called Welcome to Medicare that I try to do every month. It's the second Monday of every month. So there is one coming up on Monday. We have at least a half a dozen people signed up for it. But if you're interested in that refresher between Advantage plans and supplements, that class is available. There's also one on December 8th. You do need to call ahead of time because we need to know that you're coming. We have materials we prepare to hand out to you. So we really need to be contacted if you're wanting to attend one of these. But people have options. You know, if your plan is ending, there is choices between those Advantage plans maybe you were in or getting into a supplement, and knowing that difference can be confusing, but that class that I have goes through it in detail, and it's a really good opportunity to learn more about your insurance that you have.
If you've taken a class in the past, I'm guessing it's good to have that refresher.
Yes. Yeah, because things do change with Medicare. Unfortunately, it doesn't stay the same year to year. And it seems like every year around this time, we're getting notices that something is getting mixed up and changing on us.
How does it work then? When can you start drawing Medicare? Is that...
So when you turn 65, you can start drawing Medicare Part A, which is your inpatient hospital care.
You've been listening to WRCE's local report on Mornings with Pat Kreitlow. Take your favorite WRCE shows with you on the go by downloading the Civic Media app in the Apple or Google stores. For WRCE and Civic Media, I'm Bo Henriks.
This is News from the Center, 1450 AM WRCE and 107.7 FM W299 CD Richland Center. And always on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Brian Clark. The Gaza war a step closer to an end. The first phase of a ceasefire agreement is now in effect, says ABC's Mary Bruce at the White House.
This morning, joy and relief as a ceasefire is now in effect, paving the way for the remaining hostages to be released early next week after being held by Hamas for more than 2 years. In Gaza, thousands seen heading north back to Gaza City just moments after the ceasefire was made official.
No Nobel Peace Prize, though, for President Trump. It's awarded to Venezuelan opposition leader Maria Corina Machado. No pay for U.S. military members October 15th if the government shutdown's not resolved by then. And the Senate left Washington Thursday without passing a funding bill. U.S. troops have never missed a paycheck because of a shutdown. New York Attorney General Letitia James called bank fraud and false statement charges against her baseless and accused President Trump, who pushed for those charges, of...